WRFE Roseville, Sacramento, an iHeartRadio station.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
Oh, please, please, someone hear my calls of help. Please give us good questions on this final round for Lick Us and Win. We got California Capital Air Show tickets, 21st, 2nd, and 3rd going on in September out at Mather Field. Joe's doing Friends of a Feather, meaning all insects and flying animals. I'm doing planes, trains, and automobiles, the movie or the actual vehicles. So that's what we're doing today. Give us some good ones. We'll send you out to the California Capital Air Show. Let's start with Christina. Christina, good morning. Lick Us and Win.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Good.
All right. This question is for Joe.
Okay.
And it is about World War II. What was the name of the plane that was responsible for carrying and dropping Little Boy and Fat Man bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Well, I think that's a dog question.
Yeah, unfortunately, that would go to me. Okay. Yeah. So you want to know the name of the plane that dropped the bombs. Again, I'm an awful, awful wartime aviation, I can't even say expert. I'm an awful, awful person to ask anything that has anything to do with wartime aviation. I don't know. And I'm just being honest. I really don't know. As soon as you go war, I mean, hell, I'm taking on water just doing plane questions. And that's why I did this categories, because we can get a lot of people in. I don't know it.
I'll tell you what it was.
You know it?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
The Enola Gay.
Oh!
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know nothing about that. Yeah. I can't do it. When you watch that stuff on TV and it's in black and white, I'm like, I can't.
Ooh, I like it. I like to see that. That when I can see real footage of an atomic bomb going off, that scares me so badly. It's like a car wreck. I have to watch it. It is so frightening and ominous and just awful.
I appreciate the history. It's just, even if I heard it, maybe I've heard it 75 times in my life, I don't retain it because it just...
The name sounds familiar to you now, though, that you hear it, doesn't it? The Enola Gay?
No, I'm going to be absolutely honest. No.
No?
No, no. Doesn't sound any more familiar than it would have had I never known it.
No kidding.
No. Hey, God, we'll get you in. I've never heard that before. I mean, I'm sure I have. I just didn't remember it. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, Lick Us and Win.
All right. I have a quick question. It's for you, dog. And I asked you this question a while back on the same show, and you got it wrong. What does the GTO stand for in Pontiac GTO?
You're saying I got it wrong?
I am. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you asked me the question before, and I got it wrong, and you got a prize, so you're going to ask it again.
No, I didn't get a prize. That's the thing. Is you were so confident in your answer that you moved on to the next caller. I didn't get a chance for any sort of rebuttal, and I got skipped. So I'm back.
Okay, well,
so I'm back.
That's a rarity that would happen. I don't know what happened in translation there. So what is your question now?
What does the GTO stand for in Pontiac, on the Pontiac GTO?
Okay, well, I'm going to say the same thing I said. I imagine, unless I said something completely different the first time, isn't it Gran Turismo Omigato?
No.
Okay, what is it? And now I'm going to Google as you give me this answer because... I want to know what it is that you think it means or what it actually means. Joe, can you help me?
Yep, I'm Googling it.
Okay.
Your last answer was the same answer, and you said it was a Japanese designer who was influenced on this car, but it's actually Gran Turismo Omologato, which is an Italian phrase for accredited or certified to race in a touring class. It's Omologato. And it's not a Japanese.
Well, he just pronounced the last word.
Yeah, and I said I thought that that's where it derived from, but I still got the answer correct both times.
He said Gran Turismo Omigato, but I mean that's close enough.
So now what you're going to get for a second time is the boot to the ass because I got it right. You didn't want the origin of the last name or where it was derived from. You asked me what the GTO stood for, and again I told you.
And I guess according to this article. If we wanted to get really serious about it, it's an abbreviation for Gran Turismo Omologato, but Grand Tourer Homologated is where it comes from. So it's like GTH.
Right.
Okay.
You know
okay.
What I mean?
See, and you didn't even share that new piece of information. So now what you're doing is called panhandling. What you're doing is loitering. Yes, you're hanging out at the bottom of the staircase, hoping we drop a nickel in the bucket. And I'm sad to tell you, Vinny, it will not happen again today.
Not because we don't like you, but we don't have a nickel.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, Vinny. What I want you to do next week for Lincoln Super Wednesday is call up with that same question again. Let's make it three in a row.
Threefold.
Yeah. No. Oh, you're not funny. Getting nothing for that. Get out of here. Let's go to John. John, lick us and win quickly.
All right. Good morning, boys.
Hey, hi, John.
Just call that a goat. That's all. All right. Airplane question for you.
Hey, hold on, John. John, one of the dumbest things ever. You don't call that car a goat. You want to call Tom Brady a goat? That's fine. GTO. Why would you call that a goat?
I always wondered that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just nicknamed it the goat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because what were you guys, everyone dyslexic back in the day? The GOT? It's GTO.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So, airplane question. What month and year did Boeing make their first airplane?
A month and year that Boeing made their first airplane. I'll say 19. Boeing did it in 19. Let's go sometime after the war. We'll go 1947. I don't know.
Nope, it was July 15th, 1916. They made it out of canvas and wood.
Well, there you go. Well, way back in the day.
Wow.
Okay. Man, awesome. Lots of these early plane builders, they were building all this stuff out of wood.
I think that's all they had back then.
Well, it really is, but I don't think they ever thought about the end scenario, which is what happens if this were to catch on fire or hit the ground.
Or a little termite actually gets into it while they're down there.
Yeah, there was no Terminex back in the day.
Man.
Was this wood treated? Okay, hang on. We'll get you in. You'll go to the air show. Let's go to Mike.
I'd be scared to take flight in a wooden plane.
You ever watch that? I told you I hate black and white footage, but I've seen that stuff. They're out there on some farm somewhere, and there's guys running behind a wagon with...
That's the Wright brothers.
Yeah, soup cans on it. Yeah. It's like they got mom's pillowcases and sheets on it. I'm like, yeah, really?
And they flew that thing. They flew that thing like 15 feet or whatever it was.
I appreciate your industrial mind and you wanting to take flight and the vision and all that, but you got to look at this and know you're going to die. I mean, I know that this is way back in the day, but you have to look at this thinking this is a bad, bad idea, because if this doesn't work, we're going to crash.
Yeah, and at least break a bone, if not die. Something's going to come out of your skin.
Mike Lickerson, win. What do you got?
This one's for Joe.
All right.
The motorcycle, the Suzuki Hayabusa, was named after a bird. What bird and why?
You know what? I'm not going to play around here. I don't know, but I'd love to find the answer.
It's the Peregrine Falcon, and it's because it can dive and hit 200 miles an hour. And the Hayabusa was the first production motorcycle that could hit 200 miles an hour without any problem with the aerodynamics.
So Hayabusa is Japanese for Peregrine?
Japanese for, yeah.
Awesome. No way.
Hayabusa. Huh. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's cool, dude.
Let's go to Brian. Brian, lick us and win.
Hey, first-time caller, hands-free.
Oh, well, there we go.
Welcome, neighbor.
Woohoo!
Hey, I got a question for Dog. It's about Charles Lindbergh.
Ooh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where is he buried?
In the ground?
Well, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be a correct answer. But you know what?
Location.
Yeah, you want the location. Give me a region, because even if you help me, I'm still not going to get it. Give me a region.
Tropical.
Really?
Okay.
I was going to guess Lynchburg, Kentucky. Lynchburg.
Yeah, okay. Close. Uh-huh. Somewhere tropical. I mean, I don't even know where to go on this or how or why. I mean, I just don't know. Let's say Tahiti. He's in Tahiti.
Well, you got Pacific right, but he's on the east coast of Maui.
East coast of Maui.
Now, does any reason for that or?
I'm not sure. It's a very secluded place, and it's just south of Hana, so it's we actually have to rent a four-wheel drive to get out there.
And have you done that to go out there?
No, Hana was as far as I got because it's about 3 hours of hairpin turns.
Uh-huh. Well, wow. I wish you had more of the background or more history of why that was his final resting spot, but okay. Had no idea. We'll take it. Or you'll take it. You'll get the tickets. Let's go to Let's do John. John, lick us and win.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing good, good John.
Hey. Damn.
Thank you.
I got a question for Aircraft.
Okay.
For a dog. I want to know if he knows how long it takes from the time you pull an ejection seat handle on an F-18 aircraft, an F-18 Hornet, to a full parachute.
Okay, you know, this will be a correct answer. No, I do not. Yes, thank you for playing today, John. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Is that what they flew in Top Gun?
No. That's what they fly right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Top Gun, they flew it.
Take a breath and just...
Same seat, though.
Because I know, you know, we got a lot of fine men and women here that work at the bases. I know a lot of people love aviation. Ask me one more time. You're still going to go. I want to kind of more clearly understand what it was.
Okay. On an F-18 Hornet, when you pull the ejection seat handle, how fast from the time you pull that handle until you're in a full parachute?
Do you want... Okay, so you don't want a miles per hour like the ejection speed.
No,
you want to know how
time.
Long it takes to get from the plane to floating.
Yep.
Under 10 seconds?
Oh, way under 10 seconds.
Under 5?
Way under 5.
No
Holy
kidding.
Crap. Under 3?
Under 3, correct.
I mean, this is mind-boggling. It takes 1.8 seconds to go from your seat to floating.
1.75. Yeah.
Well,
a little over a second and a half. So one Mississippi, one, you're floating.
Yeah, it's
that is
it's
unreal.
So impactful on your, it's so impactful on your body, you're only allowed to do it twice, and you can't fly anymore.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because
wow. And so do you know this because you're a buff or because you've actually done this?
I was in the Navy. I was an F-18 ejection seat mechanic.
So the true ride is the ejection seat, not the plane.
Oh, my God.
Because if the plane was a true ride, you'd only get to fly it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're 300 feet above the plane in 1.75 seconds.
That is unreal. What is?
They should make a ride out of that for people.
What is catapulting or thrusting you from the seat? How does it work?
It sounds to me like the devil.
It's a series of cartridges that are like shotgun shells that have no buckshot on them, for instance. And that shoot gas charges down lines, which then ignite two rocket motors, one on a catapult, which throws the seat up out, and once the seat's up and out, the rocket motor on the bottom of the seat fires, and it'll put you 300 feet in the air.
Here's the thing. I got to get a little geeky, you know, because I'm into cars and stuff and propulsion. And I've never heard this, if in fact what you're saying is true. That is just mind-boggling that it's going to throw you 300 feet in the air, and that parachute is going to be open, and it's going to be canopied, and you're floating in 1.75 seconds, and it's shooting you that high out of the... That's unreal.
That fast.
What's the G-force on your body coming out of there?
I'm not sure what the G-force is. I just know at the time when I was in the Navy in the early 90s, right before the Gulf War, that the standard operating procedure was you could not eject more than twice.
I mean, you've got to be going over speeds of 200 miles an hour easily.
Does it make them? Do they pass out when they do that?
It depends. You know, they'll get black eyes from the air hitting them when they come out of the cockpit.
Bet you they do.
They'd have to be traveling well over 200 miles an hour to hit that height.
Oh, more than that, sometimes.
I mean, they got to be getting close to 3 or over. I mean, that's insane.
Well, you're already talking about the best of the best of us. I mean, you fly a fighter plane for
best
us.
Of the best. Don't ever say us.
They're
just
hands
said best
and eye
of the best
coordination
of us.
And brain power and everything that they have working together, dude. They throttle people. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine.
But they're not like us.
They're us times 50 men.
You got to say the best of the best of them.
Yeah.
That is a different caliber of
the
person.
Best, the best of the best of us can run a good run, you know, race in the parking lot.
Yeah, we might be able to run across the street without getting hit.
Yep.
I
can jump a pothole.
Do this one, Cable. Good morning. Lick us and win. Final. One. Lick us win Wednesday. Give it to us good.
Hey, how about that? Good one, right? All right. The very first production vehicle with a turbocharger.
Very first.
And what year?
Production car with a turbocharger. It's going to go way back. I at one time did know this. It's going way, way back.
I think it's got to be the Honda CT90.
Well, not a trail bike. Oh, again, German, Asian, or domestic?
Man, you're making it hard on me. It's an American, believe it or not.
Wow, it is an American turbocharged. Did a Duesenberg have a turbocharger on it?
No, the Corvair in 64.
No, come on. Come on, there was stuff out there turbocharged before 64.
You're sitting right in front of a computer. Google it.
Joe, Google that, and, okay. And we'll put you on hold. We'll verify. There had to be something else older than that.
Well, technically, there was one of the vehicle, but it was the same year. It was the Oldsmobile F85 that also had a turbocharger.
Okay, well, fair enough. We'll source
that's it.
Is that what it says?
Well, he did the 1938, the Soar, whatever he just said. But yeah, it was the Chevy Corvair Monza, whatever it was, and the Oldsmobile Jetfire.
Okay, so what was the
63.
The 1930 what?
1938 Swiss Machine Works Sauer, S-A-U-R-E-R.
Yeah, okay, because I did say the 30s. I know that's when they invented it, so you're saying first production car. Okay, fair enough. Hang on, you'll go to the air show. Here comes AC/DC. We got 93 minutes nonstop commercial free to get going, too. It's the river.